This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Experiencing anxiety is natural, but when does that anxiety become unhealthy and start impacting on our ability to function? And is it more prevalent now among our children than it has been before? I'm delighted to have Karen Archer, educational psychologist from Bella Vista, share as my guest to tell me more. Karen, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Cherise.
So when does anxiety become a disorder?
So I think if we've got to think about anxiety as a natural reaction, anxiety is really there to protect us. It's worry. We often forget it's just an emotion, as in happiness is, sadness, anger. Worry is one of those emotions. So we are allowed to feel it. It should be there. It should be part of us. We don't want to get rid of it. But the problem comes in is when anxiety is not temporary, when it is so overwhelming that it is debilitating, that it interferes with your daily functioning, your daily living, your relationships, your job. Excuse me.
So we're debilitated, we can't function. To what extent is it emotional? I think I'm asking is like, what makes mental illness a mental illness?
So what happens is when we are met with a situation that is anxiety provoking, and that can be different for you, it can be different for me, for my child. But when what happens is there are two areas of the brain that are involved in this reaction. So you've got your prefrontal cortex, and this is your executive functioning area of the brain. Now, we talk about executive functioning, that's your higher order thinking, your skills that you need to think about your thinking, manage your impulse control. And this is then connected to your amygdala, and your amygdala is part of your limbic system. And the amygdala is a small part of the brain, but it has a big job to do. It is where it houses all the emotions and it processes your emotions. So when you are met with a situation that, let's say you're in the Kruger Park and you see a pride of lion, you may feel anxious. It's going to stop you from opening that door and walking in. But it's the same as when you're crossing a road. There has to be some kind of level of alertness. But what happens is with people with debilitating anxiety, they see a situation. For my mum example, she has a phobia, fear of elephants. And what happens is, in that situation, if she sees an elephant, she goes into this fight-flight mode. What is happening is her prefrontal cortex is not able to suppress that emotion. I heard clinical psychologist Shai Friedland talking recently, and he speaks about it being, you've got to teach that prefrontal cortex to hover. Try to get it to hover so that you're not reacting so quickly. And that's easier said than done. In that situation when you're faced with fear, and when we talk about fear of learning, for example, with children, it is so hard to get them into that space where their rational brain is speaking to them. And a lot of it comes from the judgment of anxiety.
Okay, so let's go into that because firstly, the levels of anxiety are much higher today than they were before. Is that because we're more anxious, or is it because we're naming what has been there for has always been there?
So there's a lot of thoughts on this at the moment. It's interesting. The World Health Organization have released data that 1 in 7 children between the ages of 3 to 19 are affected by mental health disorders, with anxiety being one of the most prevalent. So absolutely, our world is, in terms of this rapid technology and social media, that has looked to the aspect of teen and child anxiety and depression being so much more prevalent.
So can we say it's social media? Our kids are exposed to terrible things very early on. They feel an unrealistic expectation to live in an unreal world, and that is causing anxiety. Is it as simple as that?
I don't know if it isn't as simple as that, unfortunately. There's definitely links between that feedback.
Sorry, take your time.
No, sorry.
Take a sip.
So there has been research about the children are, when they get that immediate feedback of they post a picture and they get 20 likes, they're getting that immediate feedback that actually only 20 people like me. And that's how they're interpreting it. And there definitely is leading to that social withdrawal, the depression, anxiety, but it's not all of anxiety. It definitely doesn't speak to the whole profile of anxiety. There's a strong genetic link. So if you have anxious parents, the patterns that they know they are showing of how to react in a situation is almost learned behavior.
Mm.
So as a parent, you've got to be so aware of how, yeah, it's a hard one.
I was going to say, as hard as it is to be a child, it's so hard to be a parent as well.
Absolutely. So we talk about co-regulation. It's a beautiful, this is coined by Dr. Bruce Perry, a psychiatrist in America. And co-regulation is all about you being that key adult in the life, whether you're the guardian, the parent, the teacher. You have to regulate yourself in order for your child to feel regulated. So in a classroom situation, you know, if you've got a very dysregulated class and you're coming in and there's a lot of anxiety and you're feeling anxious, you have to look to yourself and know, what strategies can I use to get myself into a place where I am regulated in order for the children to feed off my energy? And I know as a mum, in the morning, I'm time urgent and I need to get my children to school. Over the years, I have had to be so mindful of being in the moment with my child to be calm, to have other strategies in place, whether it's other alarm clocks, checklists for the kids, doing things the night before. But it's that key adult that has to regulate. The child cannot learn it on their own. So they are going to look to the model, the parent, the guardian, how are they reacting in these situations, and how should I be feeling right now?
Karen, it's nice because it talks to the nature-nurture aspect of it. But before we take the break, I just want to ask your opinion of Australia wanting to ban social media for a certain age, whether you think that is the way to go and or whether you think it's ineffective.
So I think it's so wonderful, the movement that so many of our schools are already taking on, in that they are banning it at their schools for mobile phones at schools. I think I would absolutely want it for my children. My daughter, my oldest, is 11. And if I could have it banned for her entering into those difficult years of when phones become everything and social media, I only see good in it. I really do. I know there's research saying that they will be excluded and they're going to look for it in other avenues and they'll find it if they want it. But I can tell you, the child that is in a stable home environment who doesn't accidentally come onto these things, I'd rather my child wasn't even exposed to it. There's no need to be exposed so early. It only creates more anxiety.
So I'm talking to Karen Archer and we're getting her opinion as both a psychologist and a parent, and we're going to take a short break.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
I'm talking to Karen Archer, educational psychologist and deputy principal at Bella Vista School. And we were just saying how brilliant Bella Vista School is in cutting edge education and nurturing, incredible work that you do. Karen, how do you identify an over-anxious child and how do you help them?
Okay, so it's interesting. So you have a child, they can manifest in so many different ways. So you've got to really know your child to know what is a different behavior pattern. They can be very much on edge, irritable. You often see outbursts that are just not necessarily appropriate to the environment they suddenly or the situation they find themselves in, often very clingy, tearful, crying maybe in class. Children can appear very inattentive and can often withdraw. Often the girls can withdraw a lot and the boys often have the outbursts, which is interesting. You can see it sometimes in the maths classroom where children keep asking to go to the toilet. That can be directly linked to that maths learning, the maths anxiety. And then as a parent, just watching their eating habits and their sleeping habits, Because as soon as there's a change in that, you need to ask your child why. They may not always know why, and this is the hard thing. You know, I talk personally, and I talk from, children that I've seen in therapy. You can have a child that is so good at verbalizing their feelings and their understanding of a situation. And then you can have another child, be my son, who has no idea why he's feeling the way he is. So it is anxiety. I can see it, but he can't name it.
Is he angry?
He has the anger. He wants to control the home. Because everything is so overwhelming for him, and it comes with a lot of sensory sensitivities for him. And any kind of change in routine has always been a difficulty for him. A new school year for many children is very unsettling. New routines, new sports, new demands. And for him, it takes him a while to settle. So we must remember, it's normal to take about 6 weeks to settle into any new routine. And it's interesting, we've just hit half term and he is settled. But from him, it's this anger outburst at his siblings. It's this not wanting to, it's almost school refusal to those points. So that's very much on the behavior side. If I just talk to the physical symptoms, because this is interesting. So in those anxious moments, we often have this blood that kind of rushes from your digestive system to all parts of your body. So you can think back to any time you felt anxious. And if you can remember, perhaps you've had stomach cramps or headaches. I remember I used to get it every Tuesday before swimming. But they were real. They were really, really sore. So the child may have cramps, diarrhea, feel nauseous. They often have this rapid heartbeat, palpitations, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, sweaty palms, and very tense muscles. They might feel very tense and sore muscles, and then often tingling in their hands. So those physical symptoms are real. And as parents, we've got to recognize this. They're not actually just making it up. That's how their body's telling them they're in a state of anxiety.
How do we help them?
Okay. So parent, you have to co-regulate. You've got to be there for the child in a calm state. Don't try and correct. You need to connect first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Easy to say,
when this brain is in that fight flight mode, you've got to get them to a calmer place. Don't even try and reason with them. Some of the beautiful techniques that psychologists use is externalization, where you externalize the emotion. So you take it away from the child. So as a family, you all got to be on board. So the child's very anxious and is already feeling very bad about their behavior. You know, why are you so anxious? Why are you doing this to family? They don't know. No one wants negative thoughts. One of the tools in externalization is to say, let's give it a name. So for the younger children, the worry monster. For the older child, you've got to talk to them, obviously, in the language. But you say to them, don't let this person, this worry monster, into your life. Don't let them control you. Don't try to get rid of it. Just don't listen to it. And it becomes a common enemy. So let's talk about the worry monster in that different light, in that different. So it makes the child feel they can control it. And as a family, you can beat it together.
Last question, medication?
Medication, absolutely. If anxiety is an anxiety disorder, I would seek professional help for your child, for yourself as an adult, a parent. And the medication will just reduce that feeling of overwhelm. It brings you to a place where your brain, with therapy, can rationalize what the situation is reading. And that medication plus therapy gives you the strongest outcome.
Karen, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed chatting to you, and I know there's so much more.
So
and again,
much,
like my last guest, I really, really want to have you back.
Okay, wonderful.
Maybe even regularly.
Okay, wonderful. I'd love to.
Because
thank you.
I think we're all feeling anxious at any given time, and not knowing how to do it is dealing with it is awful.